Live from Crestview Studios, Florida, it's the Dave and Duke Collins Show. And now here's your co-host, Speak Free Radio owner David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke. Limber up your dialing fingers.
Hey folks, this is Dave Gahari on the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. It is 6:02 p.m. Central Time on Sunday, April 14, 2024, and I hope I'm coming through loud and clear, because you never know, right, especially with live radio. But hey, we're here, and it's the middle of April already, and soon it'll be the scorching days of summer here in the Panhandle. And that's when it gets really, really nasty. Humid as heck. So now it's very nice. It's beautiful spring weather and very few clouds in the sky. Crisp, still in the 40s in the morning, and just wonderful. A lot to be thankful for this time of year here in the great state of Florida. So, this is the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on speakfreeradio.com. You listen to the show on speakfreeradio.com, and you'll see the little triangle, little black triangle in the yellow circle. You just press play. You can listen to that on your computer. If you want to do it on your phone, there's a little phone icon just for cell phones. So you can do that on there. It looks a little different from the computer web page, but it does the same stuff. Anyway, the schedule's there, and as you can see, right now, Sunday, this time, that's this show, followed by a new show. This is the Ryan Massano show. This is, I think, the fourth show. Ryan started last weekend, Saturday and Sunday, so the show starts after the Hoax Busters on Saturday, and after the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on Sunday. So this show goes from 7 to 9 Eastern, and Ryan's show goes from 9 to 11 Eastern. He's working out a couple of kinks, but it's a great show, and he's a great guy. And he's the fellow who goes in front of the city council there in Sacramento, usually or primarily Sacramento, California, and talks about a topic dear to my heart and to most of the folks who tune in here to this show's hearts, and that is Jews. And so check him out. It's a great show. We got some new hosts coming aboard this week. Besides Ryan, we've got Davis Lerman starting, I think, Monday through Friday from 8 to 10 p.m. Yes, it's in the schedule already. Yes. So check that out. There's another original piece of original programming. He's a former terrestrial radio host like myself, and he's very knowledgeable about the information that all of us are very interested in and hold so dear. So we've got that. We got another piece of original programming coming in. I don't know when that is, but as soon as I know, I will let you know. And that's about it. Let's go over the way this show operates. And as the name implies, the Dave and Duke Call-In Show. I'm Dave, and Duke is David Duke. And what happens is that it's a call-in show, and I'm just looking at the messages here. My monologue is always short, Dave, so I never really go on for longer than, you know, a few minutes. So at any rate, the show is a call-in show. People from all over the world can call in and ask a question or comment to the great Dr. David Duke. And then he has 2 minutes to answer that question or comment. And, excuse me, when the 2 minutes is just about up, you'll hear this sound. And then on the 2-minute mark, you'll also hear it again. And as I've mentioned before, This is, or the time allotted to each question or comment is predicated on how many folks are waiting in the wings. So if when it fills up, I, you know, I'll let you know with the sounds or with my voice that we got to move along because we got to get all the callers in because it is a call-in show. Okay, and let's see. Dave wants to play a recording of Scott Ritter doing a David Duke impersonation. Oh, my God. Now, this Scott Ritter, he's this, like, former weapons inspector who was involved in some sort of child pornography or something like that, Dave?
Well, no, I think he answered some sort of ad with a young lady or something at one time. And
okay, so it was a lady, not a guy.
It was, yeah. I think the authorities were trying to
hurt him,
give him trouble because of his position,
right,
which Israel doesn't like.
Of course, yes.
And
so the authorities, you mean? You mean the regime, the empire?
Yeah,
evil empire. Yeah, gotcha. Yes. So he's a right. So WMD guy, right. Yeah. And by the way, during you know, the 18th century here in America, women began courting at the age of 15. So you know, we're living in a different era now, but you know, women throughout the ages,
yeah,
right, were ready for marriage and reproduction at a much younger age than they are today. So the predilections of today are different from the historical norms of yesterday, obviously.
That's definitely true, for sure.
So what you got, Dave? You looking for it?
Yeah, I'm trying to locate it here. I thought I had it right aware. Here it is.
Okay.
It's just...
You want to send me the link and I'll load it into the system?
We could either do that or...
yeah, send me the link here in the chat. Or email,
well, okay,
whatever.
Let me get it to you.
Well, yeah, send him in the chat.
It says Scott Ritter, Iran, Hezbollah. You know.
Okay, let me look it up then. Hold on 1 second.
Scott Ritter, : Iran, Hezbollah, Tool, Israel.
And what is that on, Dave? YouTube?
It's on YouTube. Yeah, YouTube.
YouTube? Okay, mm-hmm. Hold on a second.
Axis of Resistance, winning the game, losing. Losing. The answer is winning.
Right.
Haritz just ran an article.
All right, Scott Ritter, :
We're senior analysts.
Yeah, I just had it.
:
Iran, Hezbollah.
Scott Ritter, :
Israel.
Okay.
And, you know,
that's where you can find it.
Because of what Iran has done in managing this conflict. Remember, the goal here.
All right, let me see.
I'm trying to get this up.
Okay, Scott Ritter, Iran, Hezbollah, Fool, Israel, that thing?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
5 hours ago, Dave? Yeah, okay. All right, I'll take care of it right now. Hold on.
Should be. I think that's it.
Oops. All right.
Trying to play it.
I think
now you got to go to about 20.
I think I can do this.
You got to go to 20 minutes, I think, into it.
Ah.
Let me make sure we got that.
All right, hold on a second.
You have to go like 22
okay,
minutes.
Oh, it's 2 hours?
No.
Holy mackerel. Okay, hold
on. No, in 20
just minutes, play it, Dave.
I don't know if that's the right one.
I know, but I...
I'm having trouble here with this going right.
Well, what did he say?
Well, he basically sounded like us, and I thought our people would really enjoy this on tonight's show. To hear the stuff that he's saying, which sounds exactly what we've been saying on this program every Sunday night, what I say in my program every day. He really talks about Israel being supremacist and the how these Jews are genocidal, how they practice this, you know, mass murder. He talks about Netanyahu with destroying all the Amalekites, all that kind of stuff. So it's pretty fascinating stuff. I mean, it's really
good.
Quite good, and it's kind of gives a good illustration that more and more people are coming around to our explanation.
Oh, for sure.
Our way of putting out.
Took them long enough. For God's sakes.
It takes a while, doesn't it?
It does. So let's, you want to get into the call? We got one call waiting. Dave?
We could. While you're
playing around with that, let's bring him in.
I'm trying to get this up on the...
That's okay. Okay. World War III right when? Question mark.
But in
Is this Richard? Richard?
But in reality.
Richard.
Yeah.
Correctly guess. Well done.
Go ahead, my friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, I just wanted to say thank you very much, Dave Gahari, for all that you've done on Speak Free Radio, and David Duke as well. You must seem very vindicated nowadays, given how mainstream your opinion is. Like I said, I'm happy to wait until you can find the audio for me to ask my question. The question is simply,
you're not going to have a choice, right?
In David Duke's lifetime, where the message that he's been saying has reached the ears that it has. That was my question straight up. It seems that...
Richard, repeat that question again. Go ahead, repeat it.
Well, I just wanted to congratulate Dr. Duke and yourself, Dave, for putting the show up and allowing people to hear what is, for the most time, for the most part, a very repressed point of view. It's very difficult to get these things out. And my question to the good doctor is, has there ever been a time in his lifetime where many people have had the views that we've had? It seems that you can have an ordinary conversation with people now, given the attack on the embassy that Israel carried out, which is being, they're being caught out for it and being told out. Biden finds that he cannot support or endorse Netanyahu's regime. And it seems to me that this is kind of like a watermark in that sense. And so my question to the good doctor is simply, has there ever been a period in his lifetime where we've reached this point? I'm just curious as to what his response would be. Thank you very much.
Well, we've dreamt of this for a long, long time. We understand the genocidal nature of Jewish supremacism, the most dangerous racial supremacism the world's ever seen, and the most radical, the most hateful. I mean, they literally hate all of humanity. 99.8%. 99.8% of humanity, they hate any non-Jew. And they not only do they look at the rest of humanity as inferior, they look at the rest of humanity being morally the absolute moral worst as devils who are all what they call Nazis, what they refer to as Nazis. And the way they define a Nazi is in their Hollywood media is anybody who just really is a disgusting, hypocritical, hateful, in every way, just a rotten person, who just a murderous individual and a person that wants to enslave others, exploit others, conquer the world, all this kind of stuff. And of course, this has been the Jewish dream since the very beginning. And what became Judaism, and of course, Jesus Christ brought a tremendous diversion from what Judaism was. He came and gave a very different interpretation of the word of God and what God intended for humanity, and that God in the new covenant made salvation available for all human beings, that everybody deserved justice, everybody deserved the right to live, that you shouldn't exploit or harm other people, you shouldn't economically exploit them, you shouldn't enslave them. And Jews from the very beginning, for instance, let's just talk about slavery for a second. This was part and parcel of their fundamental ideology, that Jews could enslave other peoples and should enslave. In fact, they said if they had a commandment when you went into other people's lands, that if you wanted to live there, you just needed to kill everybody, ethnically cleanse the place. And if you just wanted to control them, they had to become your slaves. If you didn't plan to just be a majority, because you can't hardly make a Jewish majority everywhere in the world. And for those people, you're just going to enslave them. They're going to be your slaves. I mean, the Talmud literally says that every Jew will have the equivalent of 2,800 goyim slaves. The head of the Judaic faith, the titular head of it, and the most respected Jewish theologian is the Chief Sephardic Rabbi of Israel, which was, for years ago, Rabbi Obadiah Yosef, is now his son, has taken over the position. And he gave a big Sabbath sermon, you know, throughout Israel, across Israel, that said the only purpose of all Goyim, all non-Jews on earth, was simply to serve Jews. And then he became very, very hateful, in a sense. Excuse the, I think that's family members. They should be listening to the show.
Go ahead, grab it, Dave. Grab it if you need to.
Let me just see what's going on here. I don't know.
What's it might be an emergency.
I don't know. So the whole aspect of Judaism is about Jewish supremacy over other people. And he said, in fact,
well, Dave, have you seen it come to the point where it's at now?
Well, I'm getting there, and I'm saying,
yeah. Okay.
I've never seen more awareness. I mean, the idea that the United Nations, the International Court, would actually be saying that Israel. And have enough evidence that they say that Israel must be charged with genocide because of what they're doing to the Palestinian people in Gaza. It is genocide. It's definitely. I've talked about this on our show, on the Sunday night show, on my normal show. I've talked about this repeatedly. How that genocide is real clear by the Genocide Convention, of which the United States signed on to, Great Britain signed on to, France, Germany, all these countries, and it says, in whole or in part, trying to destroy people, are attacking people, killing people, dispossessing people on the basis of by their race or ethnicity or, you know, religious belief or whatever it might be as a group. This is how genocide is defined. And they are committing a genocide. And the truth is that the genocide they're committing is the Palestinians, and there's been tens of thousands who've been massacred, mostly women and children, not combatants. And by the way, again, we should always remind people that October 7th is what they talk about to expose the terrorism of Hamas and the evil of Hamas and how they're like ISIS and how they're beheading 40 Jewish babies. Well, they didn't behead any Jewish babies. It was all a lie. Just like so many other aspects, anytime they tell us about Jewish persecutions, you can't trust any of it. And they've proven that to the world with the lies they made up about Palestine. And the perfect example of that is the lies of October 7, in which a grand total, according to the Israeli government, of Jewish babies who were killed, or young people, in fact, kids, anybody under the age of 17, or 18, that they were a grand total of 36 that died, 36 out of the alleged 1,200 people in Israel that died, right? 36 children. Well, Israel invaded Gaza and attacked civilians, men, women, and children 10 times over the last just two decades by themselves. And they've had at least 10 times with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Palestinian civilians, including about the same number that they allege in the October 7 attack. 40-50% were kids, right? So 2.5% of the people that died in the Hamas attack, which is really against the bases, where these Palestinians are damn brave and with small weapons. Over, you know, fighting.
All right, Dave, we got to get to the next call. Richard, thanks, buddy.
So,
we'll get you back in.
Yes, Richard, here. The fact is this. It's a magnificent thing to watch. The world is learning exactly of what I've been calling Jewish supremacism, Jewish supremacy, Jewish genocide, Jewish murder. And Jews have killed a lot more than they have done in Gaza or against the Palestinians. They've killed millions in wars they promoted. They promoted the First World War. They promoted America's
All right, thanks,
war.
Dave. All right, thanks, Richard. We'll get you back
World
in, buddy.
War. They promoted every war
All right,
since
Dave.
That time.
We got to go to next caller.
Yes, I'm very, 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 very pleased that people are learning what's really going on here, and they're really learning the truth about this. That's not saying that we condemn every single Jew. In fact, I'm very happy when I hear some Jews talk against this. But there's no doubt that the people of this country are realizing. Abby Martin had a very good interview the other day where she talked about the fact that Israel had a poll where only 2% of Israelis thought that Israel did enough against the Palestinians in Gaza. Only 2% thought, oh, they killed enough of them, that they hurt Hamas bad enough, right. They hurt the Palestinians bad enough.
They're nice people.
And yet they talk about how the Palestinians are evil. No, the most evil, bloodthirsty people, and they celebrate their massacres and their activities. They celebrate these things in their Jewish holidays. And correct. The whole world is learning this truth. That's it, Richard. I wanted to go into a little detail there because...
Well, we'll be able to get in later. Let's get to the next caller.
All right,
we got our good friend, Goose. Goose, where are you from again? What city are you calling from or state?
I'm in Georgia. Up in
Georgia?
Yeah, mountainous, the foothills in Georgia, North Georgia.
Well, we're neighbors then, both of us.
Yeah, I've been through Crestview quite a few times, man, nice. Doing work out there in Panama City in the Panhandle.
Well, you better stop by the next time.
Yeah, man, I'd love to. I'd love to maybe take you somewhere in Panama, man. We'll get some lunch, you know?
I'd love to.
But
it's always great. It's always great meeting people in our group. So
absolutely. Yep. Absolutely, so man. We need to definitely start meeting up and collectivizing. Dave, I'm making it through Jewish supremacism right now. It is by far the most complete and thorough index of Jewish power that I've ever read. Just fantastic, man. One of the best books.
Anybody that's read it, and I think that Dave Carr will agree with this, that of any book you've ever read on the Jewish issue, Jewish supremacy, the history of Jews, their Jewish religion, the Jewish activities in communism, the Jewish activities in terms of the destruction of the Western world, the promotion of immigration, the economic exploitation that they've waged throughout the world, organized criminal behaviors that they've had, the wars that they've been behind. We have three good chapters, great chapters on Israel, which are like a primer in this, and everything's documented from mainstream Jewish sources. And these books are almost like reference books. In fact, anybody that wants to write articles about Jewish supremacy and Jewish racism and Jewish mass murder and all the rest of the things that they've been up to as an organized group. And I'm not saying that all Jews are doing this, but this is part and parcel of the very soul, the very ethics of Judaism, because Judaism is a racial supremacist, racial intense religion of true hate. Now, I'm talking about a religion of hate or a doctrine of hate. There is no religion on the earth that is more hateful toward all non-Jewish humanity than Judaism is. The Germans certainly love the German heritage and wanted to preserve it. The French do that. The British do that. Muslims certainly do that in their own countries. But there's no people. And by the way, all National Socialism was kind of a German nationalism. But it really didn't demonize other people who are not Germans. The Germans and the Italians are not exactly the same, or the Spanish or the Greeks. But, they believed in having peace between European countries, and they believed in not going to war against each other. They certainly understood that there are Asian people and Japanese people and Chinese people, but Germany had good relations with them. They even had some SS regiments who were Muslim regiments during the war. They respected their people in their own countries for their own values. Judaism doesn't do that. The American pioneers, for instance, look what we call a Thanksgiving. I mean, Thanksgiving was a celebration from the very beginning. We came in. We are in New England. We come to this new country. We had relationships with the Indians. We traded with them. We dealt with them. We bought and sold with them. And when we had a Thanksgiving celebration, we invited the Indians to come and partake in it. This is unthinkable in terms of what Israel did when they went into Palestine. They don't even believe in breaking bread. They don't even believe in drinking from the same wine bottle. I mean, in a separate glass than they do with a non-Jew. They don't believe in drinking from the same well with what they call Samaritan. So, I mean, the racism that exists and the hatred that they expressed toward other people. I mean, major Jewish publications like the Times of Israel, which is one of the 10 biggest publications in the world, Jewish publications in the world, they have leading articles by their scholars and by their heads saying that anti-Semitism, that all non-Jews are like Nazis, that all want to kill Jews, and all the non-Jews of the world, and not just white people, but Muslims, Africans, Asians, South America, all the people of the world are born to be like Nazis. They're born anti-Semitic. It's just in their blood. It's in their genes. It's in their nature. And
yeah, a little guilty conscience, right, Dave? We know that's inversion.
Yeah, they, you know, the truth
because that's
is,
what they want to do to everyone else.
And this is one thing that I've really been pressing recently, and more people are picking this up, is that the truth is, when I say that Jews are the quote Nazi threat to the world, they are the Nazi threat to the world. They're exactly what they describe the Nazis as being in their Hollywood movies, about wanting to enslave everybody, kill everybody, murder everybody, rule over everybody, warlike, wanting to control the world, do anything they have to do, and they're hateful toward other populations. They're exactly what they describe Nazis as in the movies. When I don't think the National Socialists were any more than patriotic Germans, frankly.
Yeah, that's it. They were just German men fighting for their freedom, like the American men thought that they were doing, right?
Germany was openly a pro-Christian nation. Almost all public schools in Germany either had a crucifix, if it was Catholic schools, which are probably most of them, a crucifix over the doorway for every classroom. It wasn't something where they were criticizing Christ or attacking Christ. They literally had crucifixes over the door, or they had crosses in more Protestant areas, for instance, in certain parts of Prussia, Lutheran areas or other, you know, non-Catholic.
Yeah, and they respected their folkish past too, you know.
Yeah, they respected their Viking past. And they weren't dogmatic. They weren't saying that you couldn't believe in have a different religious view. But they did believe in that Germany and that Christian Germany was their culture. And they didn't suppress Christmas and the birth of Jesus and Christmas carols.
No.
Like our Jewish government does.
Our Jewish government, which I don't even call it our government anymore.
You can put up menorahs, which symbolize the lighting of the candles, right? Symbolizing their victory.
Yeah, six and 8 foot menorahs they're putting up in front of these city buildings? It's disgusting.
They put up the largest menorah in the Western world.
12 and 15 foot menorahs.
Right, on public ground.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
You can't allow, you cannot even have a nativity scene celebrating the birth of Christ, but you can't have a Jewish menorah under the idea that, this is okay because it's not a religious symbol, even though every encyclopedia, every dictionary will say a menorah is the oldest symbol of the Jewish faith. It's far more symbol of the Jewish faith than the Star of David, frankly. The menorah is the most common.
Yeah, the star of Satan, right? We know what
right,
that is.
Exactly. 666.
Yeah. Hey, but, Dave, quick question, man. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Hey, what's up with this Tommy Robinson character, man? He is obviously a paid Mossad disinformation agent, and I think he needs to be shunned. I think he needs to be called out, dragged behind the shed, and you know what? I mean, he is just a piece of garbage, man, Tommy Robinson. He might have had his heart in it 10 years ago, but he is just totally paid off by Israel and the Jews now. He defends them at every turn. He's wearing Mossad shirts. He's cheering on the genocide of Arabs. He's just disgusting, man. I understand that England is overwhelmed with Muslims, but for him to deny who's actually behind that, who's opening the gates of Toledo, is just totally disingenuous.
Well, it's just like the whole thing right now with Iran that's being presented as our enemy. It's not Iran. It wasn't the Iranians who changed their immigration laws and who decided in the Western world not even to enforce our laws on the books of every state. You know, everybody who serves in office elected in Great Britain or in France or Germany or whatever, Canada or America, takes an oath when they sign in the United States, in the Congress of the United States, or any other position in government, takes an oath to defend and protect the Constitution of the United States and the laws, and enforce the laws of the United States of America. They violate that oath every day by, for instance, like, look at Mayorkas. If anybody should ever deserve to be, you know, impeached, he's a Jewish. He's, oh, by the way, one of these Murano Jews. Now, the Murano Jews were famous because the Jews, the Muranos, supported the Muslim invasion of Spain, of the Iberian Peninsula, both Spain and Portugal. And they supported the Muslim invaders. And by the way, Jews themselves in their own books, in their own literature, constantly say that they much feel much better about Islamic countries than Christians they really hate. Because they say Christianity is what they really hate because the Muslims treated them much better than Christians. They really have a special hatred in their heart for Jesus Christ, a special hatred in their heart for Christians. And that's another interesting thing here that's happened very recently. Not only do we have the good news of what Scott Ritter, how he's sounding like what we say here in this program now. I mean, it's really amazing. He literally talks about these Jewish supremacists and what's in the Talmud and their mass murder and, you know, these people. It's just amazing. You would think that I sound moderate next to him right now. He's so upset about what these Jews.
Yeah, they're all saying what you were saying 40, 50 years ago, you know.
And they're saying what I was saying just a few weeks ago. I was talking about these things just a few weeks ago. I was pointing out that Purim, which they just recently celebrated, now all that was going on. I quoted the National Synagogue, which is in Washington, D.C., and the head Jewish rabbi of the National Synagogue, where his Purim speech was, and this was a couple of years ago, but it's the same time of year, basically. And his Purim speech was about how that Saul was supposed to kill all the Amalekites, the same thing that was alluded to by Netanyahu. Basically, when he was saying, we've got to remember that these Palestinians are Amalekites, every Jew in Israel knows the Amalekites, that the Jewish military of the time was ordered to kill every Amalekite. Every man, woman, child, and just to make sure they didn't misunderstand the orders, they were also ordered to murder the suckling babies at their mother's breasts. You know, we got to make sure you get them all, you kill them all. And one of the things that Jews write about is that Saul didn't kill all the Amalekites as they were ordered to do. And ultimately, he had to pay a price for that. And ultimately, the Amalekites, some of their progeny wasn't murdered. And by the strange Jewish lexicon, the strange Jewish history, they said they became the Persians, which they didn't. And then Esther took over, you know, subverted the king of Persia and got the king to betray his own national guard to help the Jews go in and slaughter all the Persians, right? And in this slaughter, again, that's a genocide too, 75,000 Persians. And they even have all these foods they eat when they celebrate this stuff. They have these foods.
Yeah, where it looks like the ear, they got the little cookie.
It's called hamantash and means Hammond's ears, which is like triangular-shaped dough pockets filled, you know, and then they have the kreplak, which is filled with ground beef. And you look it up on the Jewish websites and what this symbolizes. They're filled up with ground beef, symbolizing the beaten flesh of your man, Haman, and because they symbolize whipping him. And in the synagogues, they beat the willow branches, which they used to whip people with in punishments, and they beat the willow branches, symbolizing the beating of Haman. They do skits in their synagogues where they lynch Haman. I mean, you can't make this up. I mean, you can't make up this kind of hatred. This is in their synagogues. And they have their little kids dress up like their Mordecai, which is a Jewish, you know, terrorist that murders Haman, and they kill all of his sons because they don't want his genealogy to go on. Again,
Hey, Dave, but before the other Dave drops me down, would you debate, I don't mean to cut you off, but this is important, would you debate that piece of garbage, Rabbi Shmuley, in a debate?
Anytime.
Oh, God, I would love to see that, man. I want to get some other people up. I don't want to be
By the way, go to my my Gab and take a look at the articles that I have in there. I have a lot of good memes. And I show an article by Shmuley in the Jerusalem Post called "Is the New Testament Anti-Semitic?" And the answer in the article just shows you how Jews really think about us. This damn same Jew that wants to murder all the Palestinian children, he hates Christians even more. The answer to his question is the New Testament anti-Semitic. He says, yeah, it's very anti-Semitic. There's 450 vicious, hateful, anti-Jewish passages by Jesus Christ and the apostles, and the whole message of the New Testament is anti-Jewishness, anti-Semitism.
Absolutely.
Because that's, in fact, Christ's teachings itself was a teachings against the corruption that Judaism had become. Because that's why Jesus was so critical of their oral tradition. And he rejected all these things they were teaching. For instance, the idea that the temple, this temple has to be rebuilt and all this stuff. In fact, he said...
Dave, we got to get to the next call.
Yeah.
All right,
Dave,
Goose, thanks, Dave, buddy.
Hey, real quick, we'll get you back in. Hey, yeah. Gaheri, we got to get this debate set up, man. Everyone that's listening, let's bomb Shmuley's Twitter account.
Okay, let's do it.
All right, guys.
Sure, sure. Okay. Yeah. I think most of these people, unfortunately, are afraid of him. So, but okay.
Yeah, we need to get Americans to read this book, man. And if we could get Dave on a large Rumble channel or a large whatever Twitter account, you know, the more millions we can get to read this book, the better. I'll drop down. Thank you, guys.
Okay. All right, buddy. You're right. Thank you. Okay, Dave, we got another caller.
I got that thing by Twitter. If you want me to play it yet, or just have another call.
Okay, sure. Sure.
Let's hear.
Yeah,
let's
hear. Sure. Go ahead. Play.
Let's hear
it,
some of this. He's talking about political Zionism. Make sure I get it.
Yeah. Go ahead. Take your time.
Here we go.
Because the Jewish people committed genocide against the seed of Amalek. It started with the Samuel ordering Saul to kill King Agag and all of the Amalekites. Biblical reference. And he didn't. And God punished them for this. But the seed of Amalek left and went on and became the advisor to the king of Babylon, who married a Jewish girl named Esther.
Haman, actually, it was king of Persia, but that's okay.
He was conspiring to kill all the Jews in Babylon. But Esther got the king to flip the script.
I've got to correct him historically, but he's right in his intent.
Finished the job. They annihilated the seed of Amalek. Haman and 75,000 of his followers were slaughtered by the Jews in a genocidal frenzy that is celebrated every year in the holiday of Purim. The Jews celebrate genocide every year. Now, more rational Jews say, we're not celebrating genocide. We're celebrating the survival of the Jewish race, the perseverance, the resilience. We're proud of the fact that we can survive under these things. Okay, that's cool. But it's still genocide. They get uncomfortable when you push them on that. They're like, yeah, it's sort of biblical thing, though. We don't really apply it today, except if you live in Israel. The Israelis today, the political Zionists today who reside in Israel, believe in Amalek. That's why the prime minister can say it and stay in power. That's why Israeli soldiers sit there and sing about annihilating the Sea of Amalek is their biggest mitzvah. That's their path to glory. That's their directive from God to kill the Palestinian people. That's why over 60% of them support what's going on in Gaza, because they're all genocidal, sick maniacs. And they will continue to be genocidal, sick maniacs as long as they have a nation state that sustains that mentality. A nation state grounded in the artificial construct of Jewish supremacy. Hamas has shown that a Jew dies just like everybody else. You pump enough bullets into a Jewish body, it dies just like a Christian body, just like a Buddhist body, just like any body. There's no such thing as Jewish supremacy. They are not the chosen people of God. They're humans, just like everybody else. Until the Jews realize that in order to survive, they have to be part of the human race. They have to learn to get along with everybody as equals, not as superiors. There is no supreme law for the Jews. There is no exception for the Jews. Yes, your history sucks. Yes, I'm sorry for what happened to you in history, but that doesn't justify what you're doing today against the people of Gaza. What it does is condemn you in the eyes of the world and guarantee the eradication of this nation state that you're all hoping for, this land of the Jews, will be gone. And if you continue it and you continue to think that you're separate from humanity, then maybe humanity will treat you as something separate from them. And then we get back to square one where we started, which nobody wants to go to. The Jewish people are their own worst enemies. Both those who articulate in favor of Amalek in Palestine and those who are silent as this genocide takes place. If you're a Jew out there, the best thing you could do right now is stand up against Israel and stop this nonsense. Because otherwise, Israel is going to be the seat of your destruction.
It seems that Netanyahu feels that the attack on Rafah would be his final chance of coming out of this conflict as a hero. King of Jordan said to Biden that attack on Rafah would be the brightest of all red lines for the Arab states. And because it's so dire, the situation in Rafah is so dire right now.
Anyway, there's a lot more to that, too. We don't have time to play that the whole hour. Boy.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously, all your decades of work have normalized the discussion of Jewish supremacism.
Now, you've all heard this. Now, he just started saying all this a couple of weeks ago. Just last week. Actually, just about 3 or 4 days ago.
Right, right.
And
it's exploding.
You've been hearing
finally.
This on this program and my show every day for weeks, in fact, for years. You can go back 10 years where I talk about Purim. I talk about, the king of Persia, Esther, all this stuff. And I talk about, Saul and the massacre of the Amalekites. And so what Netanyahu was doing, he was doing it very clearly. Because every Jew in Israel knows exactly what the command was to kill all the Amalekites. And that's exactly what they've been doing. They've had Jewish leaders get up and say, we're going to starve these people, these children. We're going to starve them. We're not going to let any food in there. We're not going to let any clean water in there. And even the water resources are controlled by these Jews in this prison camp. Imagine feeding people or are giving people poisoned, diseased, and polluted water to drink, to give to your children, to give your babies, and not give them the food they need, not give them the antibiotics they need when they get these terrible wounds from these horrible bombings and burnings that they've done. They don't even have anesthetics. And yet, I can tell you, anybody that's ever been to the dentist knows what pain can feel like. Imagine when your limbs are torn off. Imagine when your face is half burned off. It's just unbelievable what's going on right now in Gaza. And the fact that the world's keeping a blind
eye. Dave, we got to get to the calls.
Is just proof
of
the duplicity and the power of Jews in the media. And there is a lot of opposition to it because the truth is this genocide is right in our faces. There you go.
Of course.
Go ahead.
The imaginary power.
Well, they do have great power over the media, and they got power over
Thanks,
the mind
Dave.
Of many Americans.
Okay, Dave, we got
nothing's worse than those people like the Robinsons of the world, the Tommy Robinsons of the world,
right.
who fight for Jews. This guy says that he's supporting
Dave, let's
our
get,
people. He's not.
Get back that because I brought the caller in.
Okay.
All right, Dave, can you hear me?
Yes.
Dave.
Yes.
Dave,
I'm
can
here.
You hear me?
I'm right here.
Okay. Go ahead, Jewy Wise. What's your question or comment for Dr. Duke?
What an honor it is to meet you, Mr.
Jewy
Duke.
Jewy Wise. Go ahead, buddy.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Do you know a guy that goes by the name Lynn Stutzman? I believe you met him back in the day.
I've met many, many tens of thousands of people. When I was campaigning, I met probably a million people shook their hands in Louisiana, where I got 65% of the vote. So it's hard for me to put all names together over a period of 50 years and 60 years of my life that I've been meeting people. But I don't recall it at this moment. But if I had some frame of reference, I certainly would probably do so on some sort of frame of reference, but I don't remember the name offhand.
He was my grandfather and was a big fan of your campaign.
Oh, that's great. Where do you live?
Virginia.
We had a lot of good people all over the country. We had supporters in every state of the union. And it was pretty amazing when I got elected to the House of Representatives from my district in South Louisiana, because that was like the biggest state election that was ever covered. And I remember watching CNN and these other networks, and they had little, taverns and bars and restaurants and all over the country, like way up in New Hampshire and Connecticut and, my God, Milwaukee and every place else. And when the results came in that I won my election, and by the way, the Jews were big time opposing me. They had this Jew from New York that came down who was part of the Jewish Defense League. But when they did this, I mean, they were just cheering. And we did a lot of good. And I was able to be the first candidate to start talking about really making immigration the first point of issue in the country. That made the destruction of our American industry and trade a main issue, that made affirmative action a real issue of the massive discrimination against white people in the country. In fact, the truth is the Jews have not only orchestrated the mass immigration, but they've orchestrated an immigration that's cost countless numbers of European American lives. Because people don't even realize that about a third of our entire federal prison system is our people came from, they're illegal aliens, actually. They're in the country illegally. They shouldn't be even in the country. And so you think about the fact that these people have been let in. And, Trump's talked about it. I'm not saying that every Mexican's a bad person. I know a lot of them I respect. But there's no question about the fact that in terms of a net result, we've had many, many women have been raped, murdered, assaulted, robbed, harmed, hurt, and we've paid a huge price in terms of the well-being of our society, the costs in our schools, because they have a lot of kids, and it takes a lot of money to educate a kid in the school. And every time that you put an illegal alien, and these people aren't paying their fair share of taxes, and the taxpayers, of course, are supporting them. It's been hard enough for European Americans who have jobs and businesses and who really worked hard and have much less unemployment. They're already paying a lion's share of the education for African-Americans, which I'm okay with. They're paying the lion's share of the money for the roads and the businesses and the infrastructure of the United States and all these things. But to think that we're also doing it with illegal aliens is insane. And this is a purposeful thing to replace us in this country. And it's a tool that Jews are using to change a demographic. And they know they can manipulate these groups and they can wield them by weaponizing them against Europeans in this country politically. And then they can divide white people because they divide men against women. They divide labor against management, labor against business. They divide us in every way they can. Abortion, anti-abortion is another good example of that. And then people are concerned about that one issue. And because of that one issue, as long as the whites divide their vote on some of these issues, other issues such as immigration, such as these destructive wars.
Another thing I want to go over that. Sorry for cutting you off, sir. Yeah. But the main reason for these Jews allowing these immigrants in the United States is to replace us. They exactly. want to come in and speak their own language. They don't want to learn English. They want to take our jobs. They want to have babies to replace our kinds. And they want to get everything free while we get nothing.
But they're not planning to do this. Let me tell you, these Mexicans that are coming in aren't. I mean, they are coming in because it's offered to them. Say, here, you can come in. You're not going to get in trouble. You're going to get paid good money. You're going to make more money from the government of the taxpayer in this country.
Free health care, free beers.
Then you're going to be making, that's right, then you're going to be able to get in a job in Mexico or in Nicaragua or something. You understand? So it's something, but this is being done the whole reason for this is not because the Mexicans want to do this. If we had a good government, if we had a government that was dedicated to our people, we wouldn't allow this immigration. We'd enforce our laws. That's the first basis of any country. That's why we have a border. That's why we have border fences and border control. That's why it's against the law to try to enter the country illegally without going through customs or naturalization for lots of reasons, economic reasons, or for bringing in all sorts of illegal substances or drugs or anything else. We want to be able to control our immigration. We want to be able to control our borders. So, I mean, the fact is, this is not because somehow Mexicans caused all this. They're not the ones who changed the laws. It was the Jews who changed the laws, telling us that this is going to be good for America. Oh, this is going to bring America together. This is going to bring us love and brotherhood and kindness and peace and all these other things. But we know that massive, massive illegal immigration and massive immigration of a different race into a society leads to division, not to unity. It doesn't lead to being kind to one another. It leads to exacerbated conflict between people. I had a good friend when I was at the university working for my doctorate in Kyiv, Ukraine. And he did a big paper for the United Nations showing how that in the countries of the world, the biggest single cause of civil wars and revolutionary wars inside the countries was racial conflict. The second most was religious conflict. And when you added both race and religion together, then you know, talking about lighting the dynamite. But that's the truth. And this is common sense. So if you want to take over a country and you're a small minority like Jews, you got a lot more Mexicans you can use to change the voting patterns than simply Jews can do. There's not enough Jews to do it as effectively as just changing the demographic of the country or encouraging the welfare birth rate, for instance, among black people by encouraging black welfare mothers. If you have more kids, you get a bigger welfare check. Now, sometimes the money they get more is not even going to even pay for the kid, but they do see it as a bigger check and more food stamps and bigger housing allocation and all these bigger housing allocations and all sorts of other benefits that they get. And this is one of my other points that I used when I ran for the House of Representatives. I served in the Health and Welfare Committee for 4 years in the House of Representatives in Louisiana. And I also served on the Criminal Justice Committee. So I'm very familiar with the crimes. I'm very familiar with these issues. So on both these issues, whether you talk about the economic impact and you talk about black kids growing up without a loving present father, and the welfare legitimacy birth rate, it creates crime. It creates white victims and black victims. It creates dislocation. It creates people that are growing up. It creates drug addiction. It creates all these different things that are so damaging to black people and white people. But the people benefit from this demographic change and this dislocation and also this disaffection with politics. People used to kind of like politics years ago in America when you had people you could really vote for. But the more they get people upset by the way things are so screwed up, the more people say, I can't stand politics. I don't even want to vote. I don't have anybody to vote for. I'm just going to be betrayed no matter who I vote for. And that's one of the things that they want too. While Jews are very concerned and very politically awake and aware, while blacks are taught to be, while Mexicans are taught to be, while all these different groups are taught to be, white people, because we're always so disappointed by and betrayed by our own political forces, they end up saying, well, I'm not going to pay attention to this. I'm going to go watch the football game. I'm going to go hunting. Well, it's fine to hunt. I love people that are hunters. I love people who are taking care of their farm or their business or other family. I love all those things. It's fine for people to like sports, but it's much more important who runs the country than who wins the football game or the effing basketball game. That doesn't make any difference at all, no matter how much you like your team. It doesn't change your life, but the person who's going to be the mayor of your city or your congressman or your senator or your governor or your president, that makes a difference, a real difference to yourself and your children. But we're taught not to be concerned about the things that are important. While every Jew grows up to know, you know, you read the stock page. You're not concerned about the football, who's winning the football game. You're reading the stock page. You're reading the economic issue, and you're taking part in politics. But that's because they're taught that way, while we are purposely distracted. Like the old thing with the Romans, you know, bread and circuses. That's what's going on in the entire Western world, whether it's soccer in Europe or whether it's football or baseball or whatever. Baseball is a great sport. I grew up playing football and baseball every day practically when I was a kid. You know, I played football when I was in grade school and on a football team at the Catholic school where I went out for football on that team there, even though I wasn't at that point Catholic, but they took me on the team. But it's like, I love football and I love baseball. And I love sports and I love to hunt and fish, but I came to realize in my life that the most important thing of all was having policies, because the people who are controlling our governments are dedicated to our destruction. And that's the ultimate genocide. It's not just the Palestinians that are being genocided. It's Europeans who are being genocided. And one good example of this is a great argument, I think, for the people of this show who listen to tonight and to share with their friends, because I know you'll be talking to your friends maybe tonight after the show. You might be calling up your brother or sister or nephew or niece or mother or father or son or daughter, and you might say, listen to this, and you might relate to them some of the things I'm saying to you right now, everybody. But think about it for a second now. At the same time that they tell you every day, you know, and there's a lot of people out there concerned about the Palestinian children that are being genocided. They should be. And it's a horrible thing. And it's hurting Americans. And it's making the world dangerous for us. And it's costing us massive amounts of money for Israel. And we're supporting an Israeli state that has committed terrorism against us, like the attack on the USS Liberty or the attack on American retirement communities in Egypt at the time. We had a retirement community in Egypt that lived there.
Dave, you got 30 seconds. We got the top of the hour break.
I'll let you do that. I'm going to catch the door. I think I have a delivery, and then I'll be right back, and
okay,
we'll do the second hour.
Okay. Thanks, Jewy Wise. We'll get you back in, buddy. What's your name, by the way? Your real name.
I'll be right
Chris? Christoph? Okay, buddy. Thanks. Okay, folks. It is, let's see. All right, it's just about 7 o'clock Central Time, and you're listening to the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on SpeakFreeRadio.com. It is Sunday, April 14, 2024, and a lot of great discussion. We got some more folks lined up for more questions when Dave gets back from getting his delivery. I wish I could get some deliveries sometimes. I see the neighbors getting deliveries all the time, and I never get anything. So, anyway, we are back in action. Dave, what'd you get? Anything good? You get anything good?
What?
Did you get anything good?
No, it wasn't. Okay. It wasn't the packaging.
Story of my life, too. All right, let's bring in Jimmy. Jimmy, what's the good news, buddy?
Hey, Dave and Dr. Duke, how you guys doing?
Doing great.
Good, good. Hey, you know, when Goose was talking about Tommy Robinson, I think he might be part Jewish, but I'm not sure. I saw that somewhere. But I would like to read a quote from Muhammad. He was pretty Jew-wise back in the day. Not that I'm promoting, you know, Muslims or nothing, but
sure.
This one's pretty good. It says, whoever is a friend of a Jew belong to them, becomes one of them. God cannot tolerate this mean people. The Jews have wandered from divine religion. You must not relent in your work, which must show up Jewish deceit. I just thought that was a pretty good one for people like Tommy Robinson, you know. They can, all these, you know, Fox News or whatever talks, you know, like on the Jew side, you know, they they can have them. You know, that's the way I don't really listen to any, talk radio or anything anymore. Just Speak Free Radio and David Duke and maybe a few others, but all good stuff, you know. But that's all. That's all I got, you guys.
Thanks, Jimmy.
All right. All right.
Thank you so much. Okay, buddy, we'll get you back in.
Well, you know what what you're saying is so true. And yes, I'm a Christian, obviously, and I don't want my countries to be, majority Muslim. I don't want my countries to be any other faith. I like the Christian faith. I love the Christian faith, and I love the traditions of our people. I had a great show with Mark Cullen on Friday. You should all listen to it. It's all about the famous Saint George, right? Who was the patron saint of Great Britain, even though actually served in the Roman army in about the 4th century. But he was a hero of Christendom. And one thing that's interesting about Christianity is it started making Europeans think, as even though we may be, like, for instance, Great Britain may be English, may be Scottish, may be Irish, may be Welsh, Viking or whatever. You have the French and the Germans and the Italians and the Spanish and all the rest. But we had a commonality in our European heritage, which is kind of great. And so it fostered the idea that we should be working together. And so when the Moors attacked and overcame what today is Portugal and Spain, the Jews, by the way, sided with the Moorish invaders. They actually even let them over the passes into Spain. They did the same thing, by the way, in Malta, did the same thing in many other cases. But it's like, it's really amazing to think about the fact that when Jews supported the Muslims in these invasions into Europe, that Europeans from all over these other countries, which had been at war against each other many times, the French and the Germans went to war against each other quite a bit. The Spanish and the French went to war. The Italians and other peoples went to war. The British and the French went to war against each other. But this started bringing Europeans together, saying we shouldn't be killing each other. We should be standing together for Christendom and for our European society. So it gave us a sense of pan-Europeanism, which I think is a good thing. And that's one of there's positives and negatives. I mean, there's some things about Christianity may have been a negative. I love the doctrine of Christianity, obviously. But there's things that are good and bad about it. Today, it's been subverted by the same Jews. If you get control through corruption of people with the church, you can use the church for, your common ideas. I'm very, very much concerned about the Catholic Pope today, who I think is an enemy of Christianity. He's almost like,
yeah, that's obvious.
But anyway, so yeah, well, those are some of the ideas that we need to discuss quite a bit.
Thanks, Jimmy. We'll get you back in, buddy.
Sure, no problem. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. All right, we got Jack Star. Jack Star, where are you calling from, buddy? You're not really coming in very clear. Still no good.
I've been having a lot of troubles with my equipment lately because the man hates me.
Yes, where are you calling from, Jack?
Castle Rock, Washington. You should be.
Oh, right. Okay, so go ahead. You got a question or comment for Dr. Duke?
Sir, I just discovered that there's a baker's dozen of criminal co-conspirators that are attempting to do a whole bunch of whatever they can do to whatever kind of legal stuff surrounds my house and the trust that I'm not aware of at all. And I came to discover this when I realized that nobody was calling me back, and they were paying attention to me, but they weren't answering my calls. And then I made voicemails that said, "Hey, what about this? What about this? What about this?" And dead silence. And I'm just beside myself because I don't know how many of them are crypto Jews, but I'm sure several of them are. And I don't really think that's the problem. I think that they're just taking vengeance for what happened on Christmas Eve a couple years ago.
There's going to be conflicts with people, but
yeah,
we're trying to deal with general issues here.
But they're doing all this stuff behind the scenes that I'm not. I just found out today. I was going to publish a podcast about it later. I recorded some audio, which is a lot of me cursing.
All right. By the way, I wanted to mention this, and it's important because it, I can hear this stuff in the background. Is that?
Yeah, I hear that too.
Okay. So let me give you an example of what's going on. Another good thing that happened is Tucker Carlson really went for full bore against Israel. He interviewed a Christian pastor in Bethlehem, and it's amazing. You got to just look it up. You know, it's just like, how does there's a video on YouTube called "How Does the Government of Israel Treat Christians?" And it talks about the Jewish war on Christianity, how evangelicals, in fact, the same evangelicals that support Israel, it's weird, support this Antichrist Israel, Israel, which makes evangelical Christians illegal in the country. Actually, it does that. And supports Israel's murder of Christians in Syria, and there's 3.5-4 million Christians there, far more than anything in Israel. And Israel has almost half the Palestinians were at one time Christians. Now, Christianity's become weakened because of people like these so-called Christian Zionists, who is a new phenomenon, by the way. This is all since the Second World War, because Christianity always taught its followers that, you know, that Christ himself, it was a new covenant for all mankind, and how the Gentiles accepted Christianity, the Romans specifically, that's where the church got going good, and also the Greeks, for instance, and the Armenians, and, you know, the Constantinople, the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Russian Orthodox Church. And these were the people that accepted Christianity. And if you really read the New Testament, it's very, very, very anti-Jewish, because Judaism has been an enemy of Jesus Christ and an enemy of Christianity from the very beginning. And any of these Christians that would supposedly support Hollywood or Jewish interests are just absolutely insane, because they're actually supporting the Antichrist. The New Testament says it so well, and it says that no one spake of him, Jesus Christ, for fear of the Jews. And think about it, folks. It's exactly who's doing the censorship today and on Facebook? Who's doing the censorship on YouTube? Who's doing the censorship on Google with Sergey Brin and Larry Page and all these other Jews that totally control it? Who does the censorship and the lies of Wikipedia? You know? Who's controlling 90% of the search engines in the world? Who's controlling the big media? Who ran the committees which were all trying to impeach Trump for Russian collusion? There was no Russian collusion. There's been Jewish collusion and Jewish subversion of our government for years and years, which have caused this destruction of our people. Those are the realities of our time, and those are the realities we should be talking about in this world. Thanks for calling. I appreciate you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, buddy. We'll get you back in. All right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting, you know, about the censorship, right? Mm-hmm. And we see it, you know, in spades now. But this may have been something in the works for perhaps hundreds of years here in this once great nation. So,
or it has been.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, let's play another little
short tape.
Yeah.
It's only about a minute or two.
Sure.
This is Abby Martin, and she actually worked for Russia Today for a while. She's leftist, but you know what? She had some great things to say. I'm going to just play the beginning of one show. She did this one interview, but she just lays it on the line about how genocidal these Jews are in Israel. Listen to this.
That's anti-Semitic
behavior. I also completely disagree with the institution of NATO and what the U.S. did to facilitate and foment.
Let me get this one. There you go. Okay,
there we go. There really is such a diminishing left in Israel. I mean, just look at the genocidal onslaught. Look at the polling. Less than 2% thought that Israel was using too much firepower in Gaza after they obliterated and decimated the entire Gaza Strip. Less than 2%. You go back to the 2014 onslaught in Gaza where 2,500 Palestinians were killed, 500 children. 95% of Israelis supported that. The open fire policy at this fortified border fence, overwhelming majority, over 90% of Israelis support that. There were some Israeli human rights advocates that tried to take that policy to the Knesset, and it was overwhelmingly, unanimously upheld that no, we can shoot to kill unarmed people who are just straying too close to this border fence that essentially just prevents them from getting back to their ancestral lands. That's how fascist Israeli society is. I hate when I see politicians just trying to denounce Netanyahu as some sort of aberration from Israeli society. No, this is the norm.
I hate that. Also, it disgusts me when they use words like fascist. When fascist, yeah. All fascist means is nationalist. That's all it means. That's what it really means. And fascists were people that believed that a government should be in the interest of its population, of its people, and for the values of its people, the rights of its people, and that
such a revolutionary.
That's a very concept. Simple. It's a very simple principle.
Now, yeah, sometimes it's such a joke.
And when people sometimes define it like mostly like the corporate state, they didn't mean that they want corporations to control the country. What that was about was saying that the institution of government should be a corporate state for the people. In other words, it should be a state that was simply an advocate for the people of the nation, the interest of the people of the nation. And we shouldn't put any company first that robs people or corrupts people or bribes people, or destroys the water, the air, you know, the value of the country, that exploits people, harms people, that corrupts government, that worships the dollar rather than the true interests of the values of the people. That's all fascism is, and I don't like that. And the funny thing is, it's always these people that constantly tell us about the Holocaust. The truth is that Jewish Holocaust of Goyim, Gentiles, Christians, has been massively, a magnitude greater by Jewish mass murders of Gentiles.
And the truth is coming out. Dave, we got another call.
Okay.
We got Richard. Richard, go ahead, my friend.
Hello. Yes. I've got a question bearing in mind the massive attack that Iran launched in as retaliation to its embassy being attacked in Damascus, I believe. I believe that Biden has said that no U.S. ground troops will be deployed to defend Israel. I remember that, was it a few months ago now, there was an American soldier that burned himself to death in protest for the Israeli actions in Gaza. I just wanted to hear what is the doctor's thoughts on how this situation will either escalate or de-escalate. Do you see, for instance, the legislation which is coming to, I think, denounce Germany and prevent Germany from giving arms and weapons and ammunition to Israel?
I think it's a great thing.
Something? Yeah, it is. I mean, I've seen, for instance, in Britain, like there's been numerous prime ministers and government officials who said that we need to support Israel to the hilt. And I think quite a lot of the USA and UK's Air Force was deployed to take down those rockets. Right. But how do you see this thing going, Dr. Duke? That's my question.
Well, first off, we have to make sure we understand something really clearly. Iran hasn't been the aggressor in any things. The Jewish-controlled United States government decided to overthrow the legally elected government of Iran because it was anti-Zionist and supportive of the Palestinians. Because it was a very powerful nation with a lot of educated people, a lot of intelligent people, a good educational system, and a very powerful nation with a huge nation. And they saw Iran as a competitor. So we overthrew their legally elected government of their country. And and a lot of terrible things that happened to them. We also promoted all these different wars. Iran has been really a reasonable country. If you really look at Iran, it has not been a country that's involved itself with terrorism. The greatest terrorist nation on earth was Israel, which was founded by terrorism, including terrorism against the United States of America and the U.S. Liberty attack. As I told you earlier, the Levant affair when they attacked American installations in Egypt, trying to get us to go to war against Egypt in a false flag operation to blame Egypt and then get Americans to go bomb and kill Egyptians and spend billions of dollars on a war there. Israel also had the most damaging spy in American history. Israel actually stole our atomic enriched uranium, which they can make nuclear bombs out of American labs and American institutions in the United States of America, including with a Jewish spy who was one of the Hollywood moguls. I mean,
Arnon Milshon.
Right. You can't make all this stuff up, folks.
Dave, so how's it going to unfold, you think?
I think Iran is trying to avoid a war. And thank God, because this could become a nuclear war. And one of the things that Scott Ritter does in that interview, we didn't go all the way through it, but he talks about the fact that even the Samson option is on the table for Israel. And of course, the story of Samson was the guy that the Jewish hero who brought down the whole temple, rather than, let the enemies win. And the idea of the Samson option is the fact that if Israel is threatened with losing a war, that they'll threaten Europe and they'll literally bomb Rome. And they said this, bomb Rome, bomb Paris, right? Bomb, Berlin, bomb London, because they're not going to go. If they go down, they're going to take the world down with them. And Scott Ritter literally says in this broadcast that he says that America, if America was really a serious country, they should be sending a cruise missile. This is what he said. Now, not what I'm saying, but he said they should be sending a cruise missile at Netanyahu's house. That's what he said on his broadcast, because he said these people are crazy. They could start a nuclear. They are a threat to humanity. They're the biggest threat to humanity ever in its history of existence. And there's more chance of a nuclear war. Stephen Cohen, one of these Jewish historians who knew a lot about Russia as well. He's dead now. He just died last year. But he was against these Jewish wars. Thank God for him. But he said it himself. He said this was the greatest threat. In fact, his last book before he died was nuclear war, ? Because he said, we've never been closer to nuclear war in our history. And the slightest little mistake could bring to the end of all humanity, not just all of our children, all of European civilization, everything that's good and decent in this world, and the earth itself. It could all end in a heartbeat. And this is the danger we face with these crazy Jews at the helm of our foreign policy and these crazy people.
Well, thanks very much, Richard. I'll allow someone else to come in. Very keen to hear the impression that I think Huey Wise has got in.
Yes. We'll get to that. All right.
Yes.
Thanks, buddy.
All right. Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Okay, you too. Okay, let's get
To answer the question further, too, I would say just one more last comment. Iran is more than restrained. They realize that if they go... if there's a war, and there's a direct war, I think they could sink easily. They have hypersonic missiles. They could sink American aircraft carriers. I mean, 5,000, 6,000 Americans in one go, down, dead. And of course, we would probably respond to that with horror, and obviously that we would. And this could lead directly to wars. Russia and China would probably back up their person because they're not going to let Israel destroy Iran. And so this is a very, very dangerous prospect for us right now. And I think Iran is trying to avoid this war. At the very least, if this does escalate to just a major war between Israel and Iran, even if America doesn't get in it, probably the oil will be cut off, 30% of the world's oil. oil prices that go $200 a barrel. The economies are already teetering on the edge of disaster for America and Europe and the world. Starvation is going to. This would be a tragedy for everyone. It will cost hundreds of millions of jobs and European jobs. It will affect the same thing for the entire world. And the prospect of a wider war is enormous. And I think it's only been the restraint of Iran. And this was a restrained, by the way, reaction of them. They sent some drones out or whatever. They felt like they needed to do something. And they did send a message that they weren't going to tolerate their, you know, and by the way, Israel committed international crimes by attacking an embassy, which is against all international law.
That's okay. They're Jews.
Well, that's
they can
right.
do it.
Yeah. And so this is a very dangerous thing, and we got to be thankful, because I do think that if a war would break out like this, I mean it would be chaos for Europe and America, and it'd be destructive. There'd be so many millions of lives that parents wouldn't be able to feed their children. They'd lose jobs. They'd lose businesses. The suffering in this country would be enormous, and the possibility of greater war would be great. And we have to really thank the Iranians that their response was totally proportional and measured. And
Thanks, Dave. We
should be thanking them.
Perfect. Okay. We've got our good friend Robert from Yuma, who now works outside in the sun. So he's not like us, you know, stuck in a little hole, a dark hole in front of a keyboard with all this crap beaming into, no sun, no nothing. This guy's got it made. Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, thank you. Dr. Duke, what do you think about those Christians who believe that the only true Israel of God is the church?
All right. Well, what do you mean by that? First, there's all sorts of different, you know, views of Christians about, see, I think most Christians believe, and the person who said that as well as anyone was a great friend of mine, the evangelist who stood up against the Jews, and they recognized when the New Testament talks about Israel, it's not talking about the Jewish people. It's a spiritual Israel of God. It's not Jews. In fact, Judaism went a different way than Jesus went. Judaism went totally against Christ, hated Christ, says they're torturing Christ for all eternity, believe it or not. That's literally what the Talmud says. I'm not making that up, folks. It's absolutely fact. And the whole New Testament is about the struggle of the early Christians against the Jews who are persecuting them, murdering them, crucifying them, repressing them, and harming them. Corinthians says it so well. Thessalonians says it well, you know, and the Jews drove us out, killed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Keep us from teaching and preaching to the Gentiles that they might be saved, you know, and hate all mankind. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. Jesus Christ himself is quoted in the New Testament as saying, just as I led them by the hand out of the land of Egypt, they continued not in my covenant. I consider them not, saith the Lord. And in Hebrews in the New Testament, St. Paul says it real clearly, but I'd be accursed because of my race. Because it says in the old times, those who were my people are not now my people. And those who were not my people are now become the sons, the true sons of the living God, meaning the Gentiles. And this is so clear.
I gotta go. Thank you. Sorry.
So the idea of Israel that the true.
Yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead, Robert. All right, buddy.
The true aspect.
No, Robert had to go get the door. Dave, turn your light on there. I can't even see you.
Yeah,
you don't want to turn the light on?
Yeah.
You just want to be in the dark? Okay, fine. Excellent.
Let's
okay, let's bring in Jewy Wise. He wants to do some impersonation or something. I don't know. Do something. Go ahead, Jewy Wise, the dancing Israeli. Do your thing.
It would be an honor, sir.
Hi,
Hiya, Graham. I am Chewy Wise, the dancing Israeli. Hello, Georgie Floyd.
All right.
Anything else, or is that it?
Well, I want to discuss more about the topic of what Stephen King has said lately about white people. He had mentioned the same thing, kind of similar to what the other guy had said, that white people are evil, they need to go extinct, that Jews are the chosen people.
Yeah, go ahead.
I feel like we need to stop that from happening. If we could find a way to wake as many people up to the problem as we can and try to spread the word and help wake them up to the problem, then we may be able to stand a chance against what is going on in this world.
Well, there's no more pernicious lie than saying that, you know, Jews are the chosen people of God.
It's not
very,
true.
Very clear. Yeah, from any Christian viewpoint, very, very clear that the New Testament makes it clear. That's why they call it the New Covenant, the New Testament, because there was a new covenant of God. And it says specifically in the New Testament, it's not the children of the flesh, meaning the children of genealogy or Jewish genetics or genetics. It's the chosen people of God. It's the people of the Spirit, the people of the promise of Christ for salvation. For all of us. So that's pretty doggone clear in the Bible. And one of the interesting things, which was brought up by an earlier caller too, which I think is extremely important, is to talk for a while about what Islam really is. And by the way, again, I'm not doing any apologies for Islam. I'm not in any way suggesting or promoting the Islamic religion. I'm a Christian. At the same time, it's important to know I have so many good Christian friends that tell me how anti-Christian the Islamic religion is. Well, the truth is that the Islamic religion, even though it doesn't believe as we do about Jesus Christ, it does believe that Jesus Christ was actually fathered by God. It believes that he was the greatest prophet, even greater than Muhammad, believe it or not. And whereas the Jewish Talmud and the Jewish scripture, which is their main scripture, it's called the Talmud, it is something that's very hateful toward Christians, hatred toward Jesus Christ. And the truth is that the Quran, the Islamic, you know, book of the Quran, literally says it defends Jesus Christ and his mother Mary from the lies of the Jews, the Jewish lies. So there you go. It's really amazing when you really start to get into these things.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Chewy Wise. We'll get you back in, buddy.
No problem.
All right. Okay, Jimmy from St. Louis, Missouri.
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
Well, would like to give you some more credit like the guy did earlier, Dave, for getting Dr. Duke on this show, because I can remember.
It wasn't easy, Jimmy, believe me.
Yeah, I bet.
It took like a year. All right.
Because I got David Duke going back a long time, and I could always think of like, you know, how do you get a hold of the guy here or anything? You got to write him a letter and all that stuff. But this was pretty shocking to still be able to talk to you after a year and a half now, and it's going good. It's just.
Would you like me to? In fact, this is such an important subject. Maybe we should talk about it a little bit. Yeah. I'll put on my history hat for a second, and I guess my religious hat for a second, and give people some understanding of the Quran a little bit and this controversy that exists. Okay, and it's important for people to understand the views of Islam about Jews, Christianity about Jews, and how both of those religions have similar views on the Jews. You know, when I first read the Muslim holy book, the Quran, I became intrigued by its very warm and loving view of Jesus Christ. And the view of the Jews that echoes the New Testament view of the Jews. For instance, although the Quran views Christ as a great prophet rather than the Savior, it says Mary was a virtuous woman and that God had fathered her son, Jesus. It also says that God resurrected Jesus from the dead. The Quran, like the New Testament, suggests that the Jews had a covenant with God that they broke, and that God then offered a new covenant to all believers in God and Jesus the prophet. It condemns the Talmud's association, or assertion, I should say, that Mary was a whore, and disputes the Talmud's boast that Jesus, that Jews themselves, excuse me, murdered Jesus Christ rather than the Romans at the behest of the Jews. Now, this is it's really kind of interesting when you get into this a little bit. So, all right. Well, let me just give you some of the quotes. I'm just going to give this right out of the Quran so that you understand these things a little bit better. And people can, this is right out of the Quran, right? Those are the children of Israel also who went astray, were cursed by the tongue of David and Jesus, the son of Mary, right? So they said Jesus cursed the Jews. Well, he did, actually. You and your father, the sons of the devil. Jesus said many things like this. He drove the money changers out of the temple, if you remember. That is because they rebelled and transgressed. Evil for them, indeed, is that which they send on before themselves with the result that Allah's wrath, God's wrath, is upon them and torment. And whose torment they will abide. It goes on, strongest among men in enmity to the believers of God and Jesus, that those who will find the Jews and the pagans and nearest among them in the love for believers will be found those who say, we are Christians. Now, that's what it says about Christians. So it says the closest ones to what they call their faith are the Christians. Now, that's entirely different than Judaism, right? So this is important for people to know. Because amongst these men devoted to learning and men who are renounced the world, they're not arrogant, right? It goes on to say that they, the Jews, have incurred divine displeasure in that they broke the covenant. Again, they broke the covenant, which is exactly what they did. And this, in fact, talks about that in Deuteronomy, that if you disobey the laws of God, and you, by disobeying and by crucifying his son, they broke the will of God. And little it is they believe that they rejected faith and they uttered against Mary a grave false charge. They bear false witness against Jesus' mother. They that said in boast, we killed Jesus Christ, the son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not. And again, they say exactly what the Talmud says, that the Jews take credit for, nor crucified him. But it was made to appear to them and those who differ from the faith and doubts. And then it goes on to say, he said, and none of the people of the book but must believe in him before his death. And on the day of judgment, he will be a witness against them, talking about Jesus Christ. The Jews say Allah's hand is tied up. Allah says, nay, both his hands are widely outstretched. He spends of the bounty of his wills, verily, enmity and hatred amongst them till the day of resurrection. Even time they kindle the fire of war. Sounds like the current, doesn't it? Fire of war the Jews kindle. Allah extinguished it, and they ever strive to make mischief on earth. That's what the Quran, the Islamic Quran, says about Jews. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Hey, Dave.
How different is that than what, you know? It's just amazing to think. You know, so when Christians are taught that all the Muslims hate all Christians, the truth is it's Jews that despise Jesus Christ and Christians more than anyone else.
Right. Hey, Dr. Duke, I admire your efforts in going over to the Middle East and when you're talking to Syria and stuff. And I think bringing it to the rest of the world is a lot more open to the truth than these hard-headed evangelicals, you know, Christian Zionists. I mean, they're probably so hard-headed. But I think the rest of the world is a big, help for everybody to understand what it is. Because if the Jews, you know, lose Israel, then they have to go somewhere. They'll just buy some country and move in on another country. I mean, everybody needs to understand what the pattern is and what they do, you know, everywhere they go.
Well, remember, I've been saying a lot on this program and on my show talking about how John 8, chapter 8, it says the most important thing you can ever read about freedom of speech. And when it says Jesus said, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that's probably the most common phrase ever talked about in terms of freedom of speech. And it's so true that if you don't have the right to have truth, and you don't have the right to hear the truth, how in the world are you ever going to have any sort of justice or freedom or any sort of godliness, any sort of decency, any sort of fairness? And then he goes on in the same chapter. He makes the famous quote, which I'll give it to you again because it's always worthy of another saying, you know. And so here's the Pharisees calling him a charlatan and calling him an idolater, which is the greatest crime. And saying that he was a devils and so forth, and is vicious, right? And unlike the Muslims, which said that, you know, that Jesus was the greatest of the prophets, Jesus is honored by the Muslims, but he's condemned by Jews. Anyway, Jesus said unto them, that's talking about the Pharisees, if God were your father, ye would love me. Ye are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And he goes on to say, he responds to what the Jew says, he said, then answered the Jews and said unto him, say we not well that there are the Samaritan, accusing him of being like a Jew by race. Yet he has a devil. John 8:42, behold, an Israelite indeed. And there's another quotation from John 1:47 when it says, behold, an Israelite in whom there is no guile, you know. And so these are the kind of things that we should say. I'll give you one last question. I'm out of time, but this is an important one. For you suffered the things of your own countrymen. Boy, it's so true. This is true of Palestinians. It's true of Germans. It's true of French. It's true of the European Union right now. It's true of Ukrainians. It's true of Russians. It's true of South Africans. It's true of Canadians, and it's true of Americans today, right? For you suffered like things of your own countrymen, as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God, and oppose all men, and keep us from preaching to the Gentiles. But God's wrath has come upon them at last. That's from 1 Thessalonians 2:14. Another great quote is, the testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith instead of giving heed to Jewish myths and commands of men who reject the truth. And if that doesn't say it all, everything, you know, 40 beheaded babies was all a lie. The rape of Jewish women by, you know, Hamas was all a lie. The idea that Hamas was a terrorist group and an evil group, because when the fact is that 36 children died, the fact is every Jewish raid into Gaza. And
Dave, we got to get to the next call.
Kill far, 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 far more children.
All right, Jimmy, so, thanks, buddy. We'll get you back in.
Murdering innocents and lying. You got it.
Yep. All right, buddy. We'll get you back in. Okay, Dave, we got Jackstar again. Jackstar, go ahead, buddy. What's your question or comment? 3, 2, 1.
Hello.
There he is. Yeah, right. Okay, go ahead, Jackstar.
Well, my comment is that I really appreciate your words, because I've been really distracted by what I was thinking about earlier, and I'm still thinking about it. I'm not quite sure where I'm going to go with it yet, but Sunday's a good day to be thinking about hiring a lawyer, I think. And I've never thought about how to sue an entire family, but it looks like I might have to. And they have Jewish roots, so I'm not so surprised. Let's come to that.
Get a good Jew lawyer.
Well, I don't know. I think I might just call the FBI, the cybercrimes division, and see, because I don't even know the extent of it.
They kind of run the FBI.
It's a bunch of stuff I don't even want to think about.
That's the problem. They've infiltrated everything. And that's what's interesting, too, about the whole problem in the Middle East and everything, is because half the time when you get these people, like they have these writers for the New York Times, they're Jews. And the New York Times is owned by Jews. Nobody ever brings up the New York Times is owned by Zionist Jews. They completely own. They own it. They're literally, there's five Jews, or 90% of the stockholding, Class B stockholders, are totally controlled in the New York Times. You know, and by the way, when I talk about the Jewish connotations in the New Testament, let me just quote a good example of one of these Jewish writers. This is the Jews. It is a term that appears 195 times in the New Testament, but unlike the millions who have shrugged off or suffered under the New Testament's image of the Jews, Irvin J. Barofsky, on a campaign to rid the good book of its dark depictions of his people, a retired magazine publisher and founder of the Liberty Museum in Philadelphia, Barofsky has for 19 years been urging Bible publishers to find ways to translate the Greek hoi hoi doi, literally the Jews. The New Testament was written in the Greek, pronounced you die yoi. It appears 151 times in John and the Acts, often referred as the enemies of Jesus Christ. That's what the word of Jesus Christ, according to anybody who's actually a true Christian, is supposed to believe. But that just shows you how much we've been subverted by these Jews.
That's definitely the case with me. I didn't realize what they were up to while I wasn't paying attention. And then all of a sudden, I'm in jail and they're gone. I haven't seen them since, in 2 years.
You know, I did in my book, did you ever read my book, My Awakening and Jewish Supremacism yet? Hope that you'll read those books. And they're going to give you a real basis. One thing I do is I kind of show you the contradictions. I began to learn and become aware of this dual morality that permeates Jew-Gentile relations, right? Jews practice one morality for themselves and preach an entirely different one for non-Jews. So Judaic morality, has racial pride, solidarity, tradition, and self-interest at its core. But they preach diversity and liberalism for their perceived competitors to make us weaker, in a sense. And I use a couple of examples of this in my book. Let me just quote a couple of those examples that I use. I said they support the nation of Israel, which promotes passionate Judaism in schools while opposing even the singing of Christmas carols in American public schools. Supports the nation of Israel, which has
strictly segregated schools, communities, and facilities for Jews and Arabs, while condemning segregated schools and housing in America and for South Africa. Support the nation of Israel with its restrictive Jews-only immigration laws, while subverting American, attempts to curtail even illegal immigration into the United States. Supports the nation of Israel, which allows every Jewish citizen to carry a machine gun if they desire, while advocating strict gun control for American citizens. Supports the nation of Israel, which openly states the missions to preserve the Jewish people and heritage, while condemning Europeans who dare to advocate the preservation of the Western heritage and culture in America. And finally, I always depict the historical relations between Jews and Gentiles, with the Gentiles as the evildoers and the Jews as the innocent victims.
Right.
While condemning Gentiles.
I've heard that a lot.
That simply dare to defend themselves, as some sort of ethnic slander. I mean, it's hard to... The extent of their hypocrisy and lies, again, like Christ said, they're the father of the lie.
It's hard to fathom. I can't even imagine it. These are people that I knew, and I was dating their daughter and living together. And then all of a sudden, it's like I'm a pariah. I'm completely alone. My parents are dead. I don't have that many friends. In fact, just Jews only, really. Nobody really knows what happened because it's all sealed and classified, and they got their stupid little court with their little rules and such. And for 2 years, I'm expecting something reasonable to happen. And it would appear that for this entire time, she and her family have just been committing land fraud and stealing everything out from under me the entire time. And they have not one call. I mean, it makes sense that there's no contact between me and the alleged victim. I actually saved her life, but she can't call me, I guess. She's got rules, but she doesn't call. And then I can't call her. I'll go to jail. And then it's your family. She's got a whole bunch of family. Not one person in 2 years has had anything to say to me at all, which strikes me.
Well, a good thing that you can tell people when you, because again, you've got a lot of open up minds by what's happening in Palestine, right? So, and what they're doing, the Palestinian people. They're destroying their freedom. They're murdering them. They're massacring their children, torturing them. It's unbelievable, right? What they're doing to Palestinians, this also applies to all people that Jewish supremacists see as their enemies and competitors, which is basically the whole world. That's why we have this anti-China stuff right now. That's why we have anti-Russia stuff this while, because Putin and Russia has done some things that Jews didn't like. They overthrew the communism, for instance. And by the way, and the same people who tell us, well, we got to defend the rights of Palestinians, are the same people that tell us somehow that, Europeans are a bunch of terrible racists or something, but are white people really like the Jews? No. If white supremacy really rules things and white people are really, just destroying the world and are so terrible, why in the hell would every white nation have policies opening the borders to immigration to make them a minority in their own country, that's going to make their children a minority in their own country, that allows these Jews to basically just pile shit all over our people, just dump shit all over our people every day in the movies, making our forefathers and our ancestors to be terrible people. And everybody that the Jews, recognize as great Jews, they're all Jewish nationalists. They're all Jewish ultra-racists. I can give you an example that comes to mind is Sigmund Freud, right? The very famous guy. I did a great video, which you ought to watch.
Dave, after this, we got to get more calls in, so go ahead.
Yeah, I did a great video on Sigmund Freud, and his sickness that he promoted, right? But anyway, the psychology that he promoted is nothing more than what they call Jewish science. So let me just give an example. I want to give you a quote from a Jew who did his biography. History made psychoanalysis a Jewish science. It continued to be attached to it as such. It was destroyed in Germany, Italy, and Austria, and exiled into the four winds as such. It continues even now to be preserved as such by enemies and friends alike. Of course, there are many distinguished animals who are not Jews, but are the vanguard of the movement. And then here's a direct quote from Sigmund Freud, right? It's very interesting, right? He says, quote, in Moses and Monotheism, this is a quote right out of my book, in 1939, Freud wrote this, repeatedly attacks Christianity while promoting the spiritual supremacy of Jews. The people, happy in their conviction of possessing the truth, overcome by the consciousness of being the chosen, came to value highly all intellectual and ethical achievements. The Christian religion did not keep to the lofty heights of spirituality to which the Jewish religion had soared. Yeah, the Jewish religion had soared to really heights, you know. And then it goes on to say, it even talks about how that Freud identified with Hannibal, who was an enemy of Rome, and basically the Romans viewed him as a kind of church.
All right, Dave. All right, Jewy Wise. Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
He identified with it as a young man. He identified with the Semitic general, you know, of Carthage, Hannibal.
Jewy Wise, keep practicing on that impersonation. It's going to get better, but it will take time. Thank you.
Okay.
Dave, are we going to do a quick after show show?
Not tonight. Again, I've got so much to do, really. I'd rather not, if we can get away.
Like,
but I'll
minutes?
Say goodnight to everybody for
5 minutes.
I can do
okay,
5 minutes if you set a timer. Would you do that for
right,
me?
Right, okay. Yeah, I'll set the timer.
I set a timer for me. But by the way, I want to give you one last quote to finish this thing about Freud, too, which I think this will stick in your minds tonight, folks. So there was a Jewish woman that was going to marry one of the followers of Jung, you know, who was a Gentile competitor to Freud. And to show you Freud's racism, he wrote a letter. This is from a Jewish history of Freud that gives the letter and gives the exact letter that Freud wrote. And this is what Freud wrote. I must confess that your fantasy about the birth of the Savior to a mixed union did not appeal to me at all. The Lord, in that anti-Jewish period, had him born from the superior Jewish race. But I know that these are my predilections and my prejudices. And then he goes on, I am, as you know, cured the last shred of my predilection for any Aryan cause, and would like to take it that if the child turned out to be a boy, he will develop into a stalwart Zionist. He or she must be dark in any case. No more towheads. Let them banish all these will-of-the-wisps. I shall not present my compliments to Jung in Munich. As you know perfectly well, we are and remain Jews. The others will only exploit us and never understand and appreciate us.
Yeah. Poor persecuted.
This is examples of this incredible hypocrisy that we always...
Dave, we got time for one more call
okay. For
the after show. That is our good friend from across the pond, Sir Richard.
Hello. Great to be back.
I hope you got some good quotes tonight from me, Richard.
Well, I really appreciated the show. My last question that I had for Dr. Duke before the after show commences is, you're very correct to point out that the Jews don't just kill Palestinians. They've had a long history of killing Gentiles of all stripes. And I wanted to ask for David Duke's personal commentary on the medieval child saints. Like, there was Simon of Trent, there was Little Hugh of Lincoln. Given that there is, you know, a Christian listenership of yours, and, you know, this is something which generally doesn't really get much publicity or many people know about. There's, you know, I think a book by Ariel Toaff called Passovers of Blood that came out in 2007. And he was the son of a Lord Chief Rabbi of Rome. So I wanted to hear Dr. Duke's thoughts on this, please, before we get.
Yeah, there was a book, I think the proper translation of it is Bloody Passover. And this was his father was the chief rabbi of Rome. He's an academic at Bar-Ilan University, I believe, in Israel. And he studied the Middle East period. You know, it's often called a blood libel, where some of these crazy satanic Jews, there was a cult of them that would grab Christian children who were later made saints by the church, were grabbed by these Jews, and in ritual, they were butchered. and you know, and cut up and tortured and everything. And by the way, that's happened to a lot of kids in Hollywood, from what I understand. And there's been a lot of Gentile kids that have talked about this cult that worshipped it. But this book was actually written by a Jew, and he looked at the original trials, which were during the Inquisition. He studied them. He read the evidence. He read the testimonies of these Jews, the sworn testimonies of these Jews and other Jews and witnesses that were brought before the court. And he said, there's no question about it that there was these groups of these vile satanic type Jews who were doing this, you know, hateful ceremonies, this, you know, satanic kind of rituals in hurting the Goyim. So there you go.
It's true. Dave, we're done. So why don't you let the listeners know before we go to the after show how they can hear you this week?
Okay, I'm on the air tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central Time on the Rents Radio Network, rents.com. You can find it. You can also get a link for it there. And I also have lots of archives. And the archives are HR Radio, and that's one word, .net, and radio.net, and you can find my archives there, and you can listen to my show with Mark from last Friday, and other, really, last week we just had lots of major fantastic programs, and I hope you listen to them, and those of you who want to support us, I appreciate your support. Yep. We need it.
And let them know how to do that, Dave.
Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana, 70470. Box 188, Mandeville, Louisiana. Also, you can go to my Gab at Real David Duke or my Odyssey. I've got about 100 videos. Many of them have millions and millions of views. I think you'll find a treasure trove of material there. They're still just as pertinent now and as prescient today as they were when I made them.
If anyone deserves it, it's you, my friend.
It's at my Odyssey at Real David Duke.
All right, let me close it out. We're going to go on the after show. Folks, thanks for tuning in to the Dave and Duke Call-In Show on Speak Free Radio, and we'll see you.
Don't forget to tune in next Sunday, 8 p.m. Eastern, for the Dave and Duke Call-In Show, where David Gahari and the incomparable Dr. David Duke will take your phone calls and discuss whatever questions you want to bring to the table. See you next Sunday.